Buongiorno. My name is Lauren. I'm a writer, food lover, and creator of Cooking Vacations Italy, a culinary tour company. I married Reno, an Italian race car driver, and we live in sunny Italy where we welcome guests to our Italian kitchen and share our way of living on the Amalfi Coast. We live on a vertical cliff, 100 stairs down, overlooking Positano and the Tyrrhenian Sea. We're surrounded by olive and lemon trees, and grapevines grow everywhere. From our terrace, we can almost reach out and touch Capri. Follow me in the garden, where we grow Mediterranean fruits and vegetables in the rhythm of the seasons. We use our farm-to-table ingredients, including our own olive oil, in local cuisine. Join us as we travel, cook, and experience life in Italy.
It is a dream place. Stories and recipes of food love on the Amalfi Coast. That's just the title. People should see this book, should have it, and they're going to just fall in love with the whole idea. Congratulations. It's amazing.
Thank you, Jordan.
How long did this project take you from start to finish?
Over 10 years.
Wow.
About 10 years.
And it's a very personal story, too. So much of it is involving your family and background. Why don't you explain thematically what's happening here, and then we'll get into some of the fun details.
I've always wanted to keep the Italian tradition alive as our world changes. Mm-hmm. And I started putting and writing my mom's recipes because her favorite expression is, I don't measure, I cook with my eyes. Mm-hmm. And her recipe book is long script words in a paper notebook. The chapter on my family and my mom has lots of recipes, and some of them go back to her great-grandmother from Prata San Nita in Italy, the central part of Italy, just south of Rome, north of Naples. There's also a chapter on my father's family. Although my name is Birmingham, my father was all Italian except for a little quarter.
There's nothing more English than Birmingham, right?
Right.
But he's very much an Italian through and through, right?
Yes, okay. My father's name was Lorenzo. So I also am in touch and visit that area of Italy called Pico. It's in Lazio, south of Rome. And I have recipes from his great-grandmother and his grandmother, and even an artisan person in Pico called Carlo Spada.
Now, you are known for a lot of things. You're a great chef, and you take people on these amazing vacations to Italy, cooking vacations, right?
Yes.
And this is the perfect segue into this book project. Now, let's talk about the Amalfi Coast, which is so vital here. And there's a picture on the cover, which is breathtaking. What are we looking at here, basically?
This picture was from my little apartment when I first moved there a long time ago. I didn't live there permanently, but I wanted to have a place where I could go and in those days have a fax machine and hang my hat and a phone.
You're dating yourself with a fax
Maybe
machine.
Maybe we can act
No, no, it's okay. I remember fax machines.
This was the photo from my little window that looked over Positano, I think, like a royal...
The royal balcony.
The royal balcony.
Yes, you're overlooking your kingdom.
The mountain comes out of the sea.
The Tyrrhenian Sea
is right before you. So that's the view from my little
apartment. The blue sky is now coming in contact with the blue ocean. It's unbelievable. It doesn't look real, and yet it is. It's so beautiful. So let's get into this. And obviously it's a cookbook for people wondering. The food items we'll talk about. But let's talk about the people. Who's the main player beside you in all this?
The idea really evolved when I was at the Capri Palace interviewing Chef Andrea Migliaccio for a Taste of Italia story. Mm-hmm. And at the end, I asked him, you're so accomplished already at 33 years old. Who do you go to when you have a question? And he said, my nonna. And I said, gee, I wish I had my nonna. And he said, come to Ischia this weekend. I want to introduce you and Reno to my nonna. Okay. So we went to Ischia.
And for those who don't know by now, Reno is your wonderful husband.
Reno, yes.
And there's a picture of you guys getting married in Italy. I love that story. So you got together with this gentleman and met his nonna. And what was the result of that meeting?
Well, at Capri Palace, before he even invited us to Ischia, I said, I'm writing a story on I don't ever want to lose my Italian roots and mm-hmm. traditions. And he said, you write the story. I'll give you recipes never published before from my Michelin star.
Which I would imagine is like finding gold in the desert, right? It's treasure.
Exactly.
Right. Never before published recipes. This
never
is amazing.
Never before published. And he's an applauded chef.
Now, there are other individuals and personalities and stories in here. And a lot of it has to do with celebrity, right?
Yes.
For instance, tie in Jackie Onassis to all this, if you would.
There was a book being launched in Capri called Mito. Mito means diva. And as I'm a book lover and I'm always in the bookstores, I said, I'm going to this opening. And the gentleman who wrote the book and showcased his photographs is Settimino Garitano. And he started off as a poor boy in the military where he discovered his photography talent. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And although he lived in the area and made a career out of following the celebrities on Capri during the 1950s and 60s, everyone wanted Jackie. So when his book were launched, I went to Capri and I asked him for an interview, and he graciously gave me one. And you have to understand, Jordan, when you ask an Italian anything, they say, yes, come on over, have lunch.
Sure.
So I spent the day with him, and he told me his story of being a little boy, growing up in Salerno, seeing the American troops being dropped with red lights and the Red Cross stations being set up as the war was starting, mm-hmm. and everyone was poor. And he told me how his mom would make soup with garlic and water because they grew garlic, and how they'd have to wait in line for portion foods and things like that. And as he went after into the military and he became a photographer, he started following the celebrities around, and everyone wanted Jackie. So he and Jackie had a special friendship, and she let him follow her.
So he wasn't like a paparazzi type. He was more trusted.
He was a paparazzi, but she trusted him.
She trusted him. Okay.
At one time, he said to her, quote unquote, we could almost be fidanzatini, which means little boyfriend and girlfriends. Mm-hmm. He even followed her to Ravello when she had a little affair with Gianni Agnelli. And when I asked him, tell me about it, he did. But he said, you can Google that. I don't want to be responsible.
Okay. I think that's a very admirable trait, button your lip when it comes to things like that. Well, that's a pretty cool fella. How about this guy, Peppino Di Capri?
Peppino Di Capri was a prodigy child. He grew up also in that era. His uncle was a famous chef in a famous hotel called Les Palmes in Capri during the war. And this was a time where the American troops were coming in and they were helping the people in the war at the Cartusa, which is the monastery. The monastery was set up as a Red Cross base. Peppino wanted to play music. He kept hearing the American songs on the radio, and he would just hear it, and he'd be able to sing and play it. His uncle was the head chef of this hotel, Les Palmes, and he said, I really want to play for the American troops. So the colonel said he could play, and they had to get a box to prop him up on because he was only 5 years old. And it was out of the park with the music. And then he started playing every night. And he fell into his career. And when I interviewed Peppino, he told me his story of how he was selected to open for the Beatles when they opened and played through Europe.
He opened for the Beatles? That's amazing.
He traveled through Europe and opened for the Beatles. So someone at that age, he shared his story. He shared his life story of growing up on Capri, of touring with the Beatles, going to San Remo for the most important radio award shows and winning them every time. And then he also shared with me his recipe for his most famous pasta and just his open-hearted storytelling. You know, these are people that have told me their stories and shared with me not only their stories, but their recipes.
Well, that's the supremely lovely thing about this book and about Italy, as it still is. There's that sense of, I want to share with you, not just the food, but the stories behind it and warmth and friendship and so forth. Something that is foreign to a lot of people in this part of the world, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Sadly.
There's a very evident, alive passion there. And every time I'd call someone or if I'd go to an opening, like with Settimino Garitano, they would always say, we love the Americans and we love the grandchildren of the Americans. Come on in.
Well, it's been almost 100 years since fascism and the war and all that, but there's still a lot of lingering feeling about the war and about what America did and the British did to sort of free Italy, I guess, right?
Yes, and they're appreciative of that.
Let's talk about the food, because It's a Dream Place is stories, but it's also recipes, and so many of them are breathtaking. Who took the photographs, first of all?
I took the cover photograph. Our dear friend, photographer from Boston, Leo Gazbekian, took the Michelin star photos. And then the stories that follow that in the book, I took the photos for.
Leo is a rock and roll photographer of note. He's a legend, and he's terrific. And the pictures speak volumes, absolutely. But you've got everything in here. You've got appetizers, salad dishes, desserts, and certainly main courses, and lots of pasta.
Every story has the recipes from that person. It could be a bunch of antipasti. It could be fresh pasta with sauces. It could be with desserts, with main courses.
So many of these dishes are named after people, right? So like biscotta regina.
Yes, that was
named after a queen.
Yes.
They're called Queen's Biscuits.
The Queen's Biscuits.
I'm learning a lot just by sifting through the book, and I haven't had a chance to really engulf myself in it, but it's really, really cool. Here's another executive chef, Rafael Mandara. These are some of the best in Italy, correct?
Rafael spearheads our cooking classes in Positano and on the Amalfi Coast.
Okay. Here's one, Marcella Rispoli, da Vincenzo Ristorante, and her mama, how am I doing? And her mama Celeste Positano.
Yeah, we lost Mama Celeste.
Oh, that's too bad.
She's passed, but when I interviewed her, she invited me to her home for the day, and she showed me her lemon trees that she grew on her terrace, and we picked them, and we made everything from limoncello to delizia limoni, the little sponge cakes, and of course we chatted and chatted and chatted.
And just kept going through a wonderful afternoon. Did you come across in the 10 years of research any recipes for things you didn't ever know you'd be able to do, or things that were new even to you? Or were the recipes all for things you've heard of or tasted, but you never knew how to put them together?
The recipes, I knew all of them.
Yeah.
Chef Andrea, who started in the kitchen with his nonna Spada and then went on to the Michelin star path. He takes some of those traditional recipes and puts his own interpretation on them. So they're a little bit more evolved. There's one that has champagne in it. But for the most part, they're traditional recipes, because even if you go to Italy today, it's traditional.
Mm-hmm. Restaurants, trattoria, and so forth that are also featured here. I'm just opening up to page 314, which tells you how big the book is. Netta Bottoni, Trattoria Cumpa Cosima. How am I doing, Reno? Pretty good?
Pretty good.
Molto bene?
Okay.
Not just nonnas, but you've got restaurant owners and chefs. And
we have a cheesemaker. We have two winemakers, Marissa Como. Marissa Como is Italy's only woman winemaker. She was giving the vineyard to her by her husband as a wedding gift, and she turned it around.
Good for her. Absolutely wonderful to hear. So this project, I said to you off air, I said, this is going to be something that will last for generations, because it's timeless, isn't it?
The recipes are timeless. The stories are timeless. For example, when I interviewed Mama Rosa at Grottino in Capri, she's 83 now. She's still in the kitchen. She shared her recipe for ravioli caprese. And she ends the story when I interviewed her, and I said, I'm interviewing her. And she said, this is my life. This is what I've done. This is my life.
Which is why everything from Italy tastes so good, because it's love in every dish, so many of the dishes. And I was also going to ask you about different types of meat and protein that we're not used to here. For instance, I'm just looking at one of these pages, quail, rabbit, tastes that are sensational, that are things that people should consider in this country if they wanted to try something special, right?
Healthy white meats,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, very good. What would you say is your favorite? Is that easy to even suggest among the, say, the pasta dishes? Do you have a favorite?
I can't say I have a favorite recipe. They're sort of like children. You love them all the same. Mm-hmm. I love pasta. I love pizza.
you've got a fan in pizza and pasta with me, too. And I wanted to ask you about pizza, because we've been talking about Naples. And is that where pizza originates from that
pizza part? Originates from Naples. And it was the Queen Margherita that had her pizza named after her, because during the time when she was elected in, she wanted to win the hearts of the people. And her chef, Raffaele, at the time said, let's make a pizza. It's a street food. It's a simple food. It's the colors of Italy, of the flag, red, white, and green.
That's right.
And he came up with the pizza margherita.
He, if he were around today, he'd be worth a lot of lira or euros. He had the right idea, absolutely. And so it was named after Queen Margherita. Next time I order a margherita pizza at my favorite Neapolitan restaurant, I'll remember I'm doing it with regal intent. Absolutely. Well, Lauren, congratulations. Is there a good way to get the book besides knowing you personally, which is my way to get it? Let's talk about how people can get it.
If you come on a cooking vacations, we gift one in your welcome bag.
All right.
You can purchase the book on www.cooking-vacations.com. It's also available at Trident Bookstores and IM Books in Boston and on Amazon.
Well, I would venture to say there are other bookstores that will want to have this, because it's not just content, but it's an art book. It's just beautifully produced, first class all the way. And I also like the shape. I know you mentioned you wanted a square shape.
I wanted a square shape, contrary to everyone else who voted on that.
It stands out. It's different. It's got unique quality to it. And it is a true coffee table style book, so that if you're not just using it in the kitchen, it makes a beautiful gift for anybody.
It is a coffee table book. It weighs about 5 pounds. It has stories, lots of recipes at different levels from different people.
Well, the effort that goes into something like this and the amount of interesting conversation that you had over 10 years, it really shows. Congratulations.
Thank you. It took 10 years because I interviewed everyone in Italian, so I had to translate. And the rest of the world is on metric. We're on imperial. So
right. So you had to transfer
the measurements,
grams to teaspoons and all that other kind of stuff. Huh?
And we needed every story has a photograph. Leo came over to take the Michelin star ones. The cover took a time to come up with just the right photo. The back cover is Leo's.
Oh, I never even looked at the back cover. Let me look at that. What is that?
That's pasta al forno. That's a poor man's dish. It's ziti pasta with red sauce, peas, and
If that's a poor man's dish, I don't ever want to have money. I love it. It looks amazing. Italians use bella to describe everything that is beautiful. Absolutely. Yeah, he's a master photographer, no question about it. It's very difficult and challenging to shoot food. That is so alluring. I want to just jump right into this book and start eating, but I can't do that. I just want to say thank you for gracing us with all this terrific information.
Oh, thank you, Jordan. It's always a pleasure with the pro.
Well, it's a dream place. Stories and recipes of food love in the Amalfi Coast. Must have for anyone who loves great food. That's everybody. Lauren A. Birmingham.
Grazie. Thank you, Jordan. Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe and download future episodes. To find out more about us, visit cooking-vacations.com. Ciao, grazie.